Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Business update with Gula Tufupi on Kaya 959.
She brings you Kaya Biz Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. And look, there is a lot to discuss in the world of business. We're always speaking about how tough things are, even for people that are working. How much more for people that are in retirement? I actually read a report that some people can't even afford to retire.
Mm-hmm. That would be 100% correct, Cesar. According to some of the stats, the figures around those who can retire comfortably in South Africa sit at around 7% of the population. And that's just one of the general numbers that is often shared. But what's really interesting to note is the shifts in terms of retirement trends, especially after many South Africans have had access to their two-pot retirement system that was implemented in September of last year. And SARS has revealed that so far they've actually seen a number of South Africans apply to withdraw from their savings pot, at least 2.4 million South Africans, and that has seen payouts exceeding 43 billion rand, with a B. That's bigger than the market cap of some JSE-listed companies. But what's more peculiar is when we drill down into the details, and there are two major financial services companies that have released some updates. Sanlam, we spoke to them on Monday. They highlighted that according to a survey conducted with at least 300,000 of their fund members under the Sanlam Umbrella Fund, they found that many of them actually have to extend their period of retirement by an additional 15 years. So instead of retiring comfortably at age 65 with a 75% replacement on their salaries, they now need to extend that comfortably to 80 years at the age of retirement to make sure that they are comfortable. Alexander Forbes also came out with some data and insight and shared that the age group of individuals who essentially withdrew from their funds were between 31 and 51. But more than that, coupled with the fact that actually more than 30% of those who have already withdrawn from their two-pot savings want to continue to withdraw in the future. This in itself obviously tells us of a very challenging time that many South Africans are in, having to make repayments for their debt. Others also using the funds to actually make major purchases in terms of their homes or other durable goods that they want to extend to. What I also found quite interesting about this particular study from Alexander Forbes is that they also submitted the sectors where they saw majority of withdrawals. And the top feature is 24.4% of their members from the wholesale and retail trade market actually saw withdrawals, and 10% of them coming from mining, another 10% coming from manufacturing. So it's really quite telling in terms of those who happen to be under financial pressure, given the industries that they work in, and of course the age group, which is typically those who are still in the process of building their structures or, I guess, making sure that they have the adequate financial plans to reach their goals. But if anything's to go by, it just tells us and reminds us that as South Africans, we need to pay higher attention to the level of retirement savings in the country.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's nothing left for people to be able to put aside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because even actuaries will tell you, when you sit down and you're planning, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years ahead, you're assuming that inflation will be kept at bay, maybe between 3 to 4%. Now, when it starts to slide in the way that it's been doing over the last 2 years, you're falling behind. Future, or rather time value of money, means that you're getting poorer and poorer in the future. So maybe if you had retired in the 90s with the amount of money that you've set aside, you would have been fine. But seeing as how you're going to retire in the 20s, the 2030s, 2040s, that money is not going to last you very much.
100%. And the major factor that you also highlight is just day-to-day pressures, right, in terms of the cost of living and inflation, as we know, due to exogenous factors that are beyond our control most of the time. These are aspects that also do, I guess, culminate and not only eat into your future savings pot, but even just the day-to-day expenses that we have. So it's definitely one that is a topic that never gets tired.
Tell me about Temu. What's going on over there?
Temu, as we know, is one of those contenders, a Chinese online shopping platform competing with the likes of Shein. And they've actually found that there's been a lot of pushback to their products. You might recall last year we spoke about the rising trend of imposing tariffs and increased taxes against them, not only from markets like the US, but even in South Africa, where there's been a shift in terms of the taxation on the products that we happen to import. And that fundamentally falls again on the consumer. But this time around, the European Consumer Organization has raised a red flag flag saying, Temu is actually selling unsafe and hazardous products, and several of which have actually proven to be illegal within the European Union. Now, various countries have done a few tests. Denmark, Italy, and the United Kingdom conducted tests on a wide range of products, ranging from makeup to plastic toys, even their electronics. And what they found is that they either failed to list the necessary ingredients, the toys might have small items that might be hazardous and be a choke hazard to children, and even when it comes to their makeup or cosmetic products, there's certain ingredients that might not be listed there and doesn't stand or fit with their Bureau of Standards. This obviously raises the red flag as well for South African authorities to then question, hold on, are the products and items that are being purchased from Temu also up to standard in terms of what South Africa requires? For anyone who might purchase electronics locally, you would know that whether it's a cell phone charger, a cell phone device itself, or even a decoder, you typically find that there'd be a sticker from ICASA, that's the Independent Communications Authority in South Africa, and that actually means that it's approved in terms of the regulatory standards. Similar thing with the South African Bureau of Standards as well, with their stamp on products that are approved. So what we do find, whilst this matters in the European Union and they're paying closer attention to it, typically these themes do filter down to markets like our own in South Africa, where our own regulators will then also start interrogating the quality of the products we have. Question is, will they implement, will they follow through? Because ultimately that will reduce the level of movement and trade of goods and services between a market like China and South Africa. And where the world is right now, we know very well that that relationship is one that remains quite important, as China is our biggest trading partner.
I'll tell you what, the Chinese don't care about us. You will either buy their products or they'll sell their products domestically. Either way, they're going to make their money. What are the markets looking like?
Very true. Before we go to the markets, also reminds me of a concept that you always argue about, is that ultimately it's about economies of scale, but also the cost of the item. And if South Africans find it cheaper elsewhere at a better quality, that's probably where they'll buy. But if it's coming from China and that's the only option we have in terms of the cost implications, that's where we might choose to spend our money. Mm-hmm. But on the markets, we'll open up from the JSE All Share Index at 87,562 points. Currency-wise, we're still standing steady. 18.52 to the US dollar. We are 23.05 to the pound sterling and 19.19 against the euro.
Well, thank you very much. She brings you Kaya Biz, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m.
Business Update with Guleto Fupi on Kaya 959. If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.